An athlete who had reached the pinnacle of their sport was asked what he wished he'd been told when he first started training. I wonder what you think it was. Maybe you'd think it was get the right sponsor. Maybe it was you would think it would be get the right coach. This is what he said. I wish someone had told me that when you reach the top, there is nothing there. Isn't that striking? That is like a global medal-winning athlete. I wish someone had told me, when you reach the top, there is nothing there. Do you know, that is echoed all over the place. Jim Carrey, famously, was asked various questions about his lifestyle, but it must be great being rich now you've made it. And his comment was something on the lines of, I wish everyone could have money and the stuff I've got, and realise that it cannot make you happy. It kind of echoes that same idea as that athlete, doesn't it? It's not a unique experience. People strive and strive and strive for something, but when they get it, they suddenly realise that, you know what, it didn't fulfil what I was striving for. Now, Ecclesiastes is trying to help us not go down that line. The preacher has taken us through various things and shown us that, you know, when you get there, there is nothing there. And instead he wants us to see where there is real lasting meaning and joy. Now, perhaps the most enduring way man has gone about searching for meaning in life is pursuing wisdom. Throughout human history, man has sought ways of living that make sense of the world, our needs, our emotions, our hopes, our dreams, and that hoping that if they find the right little way of living, it will be a key that unlocks success. You go into Waterstones any day this week and you go to their self-help section and you will find hundreds of books that are written by all sorts of different people and promising you the key. In fact, a lot of them are called seven keys to the good life. Here's the idea that if you just can tweak the right way you live in the world the right way, it will unlock joy and end futility and frustration. Now, given humanity's preoccupation with wisdom, it's no wonder, is it, that the preacher has spent so long in the book looking at wisdom. Here in chapter 10 and 11, he examines human wisdom again, and he shows us that actually it is good, it is of some value. It helps us navigate life well, it can keep us safe, it can even be productive, it's useful, but ultimately it's limited. It does not and cannot have all of the answers. Now, why does he press this point so hard?